The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Hear that? It's the call of the Crave. And when the Crave calls, you know what to do. Try the $5 Bacon Bundle. Because the only thing better than a White Castle slider is a White Castle slider topped with crispy hickory smoked bacon. So pick any two of either the Bacon Cheese Slider, 1921 Bacon Cheese Slider, or Chicken Bacon Ranch Slider. And also get a small fry for just $5 with the $5 Bacon Bundle. White Castle. Follow your Crave.
The Joint Megapix podcast for the final time this year.
Man, sad.
Maybe the final time ever.
Dr. Doom strikes again. If Jimmy Garoppolo's not dead, he'll be the starting quarterback of the 49ers. If Florio and Sims are not dead, they will do more podcasts next year.
Breaking news, we're not dead.
We're here.
7 months later. Back, baby, with the Joint Megapix podcast. And... as folks who visit ProFootballTalk.com will see, now the official PFT picks. No more me versus Michael David Smith. It's just going to be our scores. I got to write up something. I don't know what. All people care about is the scores.
Yeah,
but
right.
I will do a post with the video from the full episode and your scores, my scores, weekly records, etc. And
damn, I better play good here.
And I don't know who the big accounting firms are anymore. They all kind of go away or merge. It used to be the Big 8, the Big 6, Big 4, whatever. But we need an official accounting firm to check Pete's work.
Oh, definitely.
Because that's one thing that we've learned.
Suspect.
Pete does not do a good job of keeping track of who won and who lost. And we catch him in midweek. And you have to be ready for it. You have to do your own math. You have to do your own work.
You did it. You were good. You caught it. I'm not good at catching it.
I've also caught him in ways that would have helped me to keep my mouth shut.
Right.
Remember? I've done that at least once.
What do you mean, helped you?
Pete's mistake.
Yeah.
Bank error in my favor.
Right.
I'll just keep my mouth shut. It's like, no, Pete.
You were fair.
I enjoy being able to bust on Pete more than I enjoy on
He goes, if the guy can screw up the Oscars, then he can screw up counting on our podcast.
No, if the accounting firm can screw up the Oscars.
Exactly.
We can't trust anybody. Just trust us, and then you'll be fine. But don't listen to what our picks are, because you won't make much money.
I'm gonna be on the PFT website this year.
Yeah.
You're gonna be putting my picks on blast in print with the video attached. That puts a little more pressure on the situation, especially since last year you kind of dominated things.
Yeah, but you know how it goes. One good year, one bad year. I'm expecting to yield the crown this year, but last year, here he is,
Dr. Doom, dooming himself. I'm expecting not to be good.
Both of those pictures. I think I was 12 in the one on the left. Surely I've been photographed at some point in a non-ugly way in the last 12 years.
Yeah, debatable.
Not that that's a
debatable.
Great
we'll research that. We'll research.
But yes, best bets. I barely won best bets.
Yeah,
we were horrible on best bets.
Right.
Horrible.
Right.
Just do the opposite of our best bets, and you'll win money. So,
I made a comeback. I was strong in the playoffs.
Great in the playoffs.
Right.
12-1 in the playoffs.
I was proud of myself there. I had picked the Chiefs before the season to win the Super Bowl. Not like I was going on a limb, but still got it right. So I had something to build on. I'm like the Detroit Lions of this new upcoming season. I ended strong. We'll see if I can carry it over, or maybe the bullseye or the pressure will get to me here.
But you made it to the playoffs, unlike the Lions. You wouldn't have qualified for the playoffs under the standard set during the regular season.
No,
all right,
I would not.
So this year, by the way, you can play along with us, which introduces a new level of potential shame, where all the folks out there who currently email me to say how much better their picks are than mine anyway,
right,
this is a way to prove it. DraftKings has set up a free $1,000 Florio and Sims Pick'em Pool. Pick every game against the spread for a chance at a $1,000 prize pool every week.
Download the DraftKings app, click on the Pools tab, and enter free the $1,000 Florio and Sims Pick'em Pool to make your picks, or visit DraftKings.com/pools.
And just like us, you must enter all picks before kickoff of the Thursday
night game. No cheating
here.
You
got to lock in Thursday. Can't wait till Monday to do the Monday game. You got to make all your picks.
And I understand this, right? This is your $1,000 you're putting up for this?
No, it's coming out of your.
I got a negative ghostwriter.
It's coming out of your makeup budget.
Yeah, right.
I know. We've witnessed how much it takes to completely slather it all over your forehead. So
yeah,
there's a big makeup budget for Chris Sims.
Thank you.
Okay. I don't know where the $1,000's coming from, but it's not coming from either of us. So let's get right to it.
Yeah, let's do it.
We've talked all week long about the Lions and the Chiefs starting the season off. Tonight, the Chiefs are 4.5-point favorites, thanks in part to the uncertainty with Travis Kelce, the absence of Chris Jones. The line had opened at 6.5 for the Chiefs, obviously given to the Lions. Over under 53, that's the highest of the week. I will give you the honors of the first person to either go out on a limb or go with the chalk.
Right.
Who do you like tonight? Chiefs hosting Lions.
Well, it is a scary matchup, right? I mean, we talk about this all the time. Of course, I believe the Chiefs are, like, better in totality, but the Lions pose some real problems to them in the X's and O's department, right? We've hit it on a PFT. The Lions offensive line, no Chris Jones. Damn, that's going to be an issue. You know, I think the Chiefs are going to have to compromise, you know, a little bit of how they play and probably be extra aggressive, probably pay man-to-man. Like, if I'm the Chiefs, I'm not going down to, oh, I'm going to let Jahmyr Gibbs and David Montgomery just bleed us out to death here and 5 yards here, 8 yards here, 5 yards here, and Jared Goff and company go on a, you know, 10-play, 8-minute drive. That would not be how I would envision the Chiefs doing it. The Chiefs do have good corners. We know that. I will also say the Lions, on top of that, this is where I go, this is an interesting part. Who are we scared of on the Lions in the pass game? That's the one thing I'm going to bring up a little bit tonight, even on our pregame show. Right? I know we got Amon-Ra St. Brown, but Chiefs, if they do a creative thing or two to kind of slow him down, who's the other guy that's capable of striking fear into the Chiefs' defense? We know Jahmyr Gibbs, the running back, can be that type of guy. Where's he at in the offense? How much is he going to use him? I don't know. So, you know, I think that's an interesting angle. The other side of the ball is also interesting just because the Chiefs' offensive line, we know, is special. Pacheco's real at running back. Great game planning. Who's the Lions player that can get pressure or go above and beyond the scheme? It was the worst defense in football last year. Yeah, they made some improvements to the secondary. Travis Kelce, I do believe, is going to play. Yeah, he probably won't be 100%, but you know, we've talked about it. I think we got on good info that he's heading in that direction. And I'm a believer in the weapons and the other receivers the Chiefs have. So you want me to make the pick right now, or do you want to talk a little bit?
Go ahead. Tell me your pick.
I'm taking Chiefs here. I'm taking the Chiefs. I can't do it. I won't be able to live myself this weekend if I go out on a limb and go, well, I'm going to be cool and pick the Lions.
A lot of Lions fans around.
There is a lot of Lions fans, but, you know, we're in Kansas City, and it's the motherfucking Chiefs, and it's Patrick Mahomes unveiling the banner tonight. This energy, I don't think the Lions are going to be quite ready for this bullseye on their back. I'm going to go Chiefs 35-27.
Something the Chiefs are getting this year that they didn't get 3 years ago when they won their first Super Bowl in 50 years, a chance to have the big celebration,
right?
Because it was the pandemic with a very limited group of people in the stadium that night that they beat the Houston Texans. The team at home, the team that won the Super Bowl, has a very good track record in these games. There is a level of energy and excitement that I think is difficult for the road team to match. And the Lions are going to have to come to Kansas City at some point. May as well get it out of the way early. You get a chance to
maybe
shock
catch them by surprise, right?
And I keep going back to no Chris Jones and no Travis Kelce.
Right.
How much does that change things? Does that cause me to think the Lions could win the game? And yes, but I'm not willing to go that far.
Yeah,
and what
right.
I did, and before I get to that, we talked earlier today on PFT Live about the Chiefs, the one game where they had Patrick Mahomes and they didn't have Travis Kelce.
Yeah.
December 26, 2021, Kelce had COVID. Mahomes distributed the ball to 10 different targets with 9 different players making catches. Mahomes also had no rush attempts that game because one of the things we said is, hey, without Kelce, he's going to run around, buy time, and if it's not there, he's going to take off. Now, you take off against the Steelers, I think there's maybe a reason why he didn't take off.
Sure.
The Steelers don't mess around when the quarterback becomes a running back. Mike Tomlin has them understanding you don't go easy on the quarterback when he takes off. But we'll see what happens tonight, if Mahomes runs more or if he distributes the ball. I think if Kelce plays, he's probably – I mean, we know he's not 100%. How much are they going to activate him into the full passing game?
Yeah, right.
And I still hold out the possibility that we're going to find out at some point before tonight that he's come to the conclusion on his own it's not prudent.
Yeah.
I want to play.
Right.
It's first game of the season.
It's a real
big
possibility,
game.
Sure.
It's the night that I missed 3 years ago because we didn't have fans here for the hanging of the banner. But with or without him, I'm with you.
Yeah.
Chiefs. But you picked the Chiefs to cover. And what I did, we had breakfast, peel back the curtain. We had breakfast after the morning show, and I was waiting for Chris. Not that I'm complaining, because I got down there before you did. That's
yeah.
how it worked.
Yeah.
And so I said, I'm going to make use of the time. I started going through the schedule. And, for me, what works best, I look at the game, because we think about it and talk about it all the time.
You can overthink it, overtalk it.
Yeah, I don't need to
right.
sit down and get a microscope and weigh out probabilities and run numbers. You just, when you spend all your time thinking about it and talking about it, you just get a gut feeling, and I've always trusted it. So for this one, 27-23 Chiefs is the number that came to me.
Yeah.
That's the Lions covering by a half point
right.
at a 4.5-point spread, but I'm sticking with 27-23. It's the under, if anyone cares. Over-under, who knows? Every once in a while, we get a strong feeling over-under, and every once in a while, that
Week
strong feeling is
Week one's scary
right.
in that department.
Yeah, you just don't know how people are going to come out of the
right.
gates, especially
exactly.
offenses, but I got 27-23, and you've got 35-27.
Yep.
We both like the Chiefs. I've got the Lions covering by a half point. All right, on to Sunday, 1 o'clock Eastern. The Panthers at the Falcons, a couple of teams with some major changes. Bryce Young playing quarterback for Carolina. Desmond Ridder, the second-year guy, taking over with Bijan Robinson and plenty of other weapons. Home team in a divisional game. There's a lot of pressure. You don't want to lose that game because you got to go play that team later in the year. You get swept. All of a sudden, much more difficult to win the division. So extra pressure on the Falcons. 3.5-point favorites are Atlanta, 39.5 over under. What do you think of this one?
Yeah, this is, I'm on the Falcons bandwagon a little bit, right? I'm picking them to go to the playoffs. I picked them to win the NFC South, right? I know Desmond Ridder, certainly the big question mark there. I wish I would have got to see him more playing time in the preseason, but they opted to kind of not take that route, along with a lot of their new cast of characters. You've heard me say, I think the Falcons are one of the teams that won the offseason. Between the draft, free agency, they really improved their football team. They were a 7-10 football team to begin with. And now I go, ooh, wait, they had the meat and potatoes. Like the Lions, even have a better offensive line than that. This is definitely in the conversation for one of the best offensive lines in football. You add Bijan Robinson to the mix here, right? They've added some defensive players in free agency that I'm excited about. I wish, like I said, I got to see more of it in the preseason. But I think also, I think not only system, Arthur Smith, the talent Atlanta has on both sides of the ball, the Panthers, it's not a rebuild. They're restarting things here. Frank Reich's playing a new offense that he's not really played behind Bryce Young. The offensive line didn't look great. There's not a ton of weapons on the outside that really scare you. You know, this Carolina Panthers defense is good. There's the Brian Burns situation. Is he playing this weekend? There's a few other injuries or people banged up there. I'm going to play and ride the wave of the Falcons, having the energy of the newness of their football team here. I'm going to go 24-16 Falcons.
Falcons win, Falcons cover with that 3.5-point spread. Look, I think that it's important to play Bryce Young to let him go through his growing pains and work toward his ceiling, whatever it may be. But there will be growing pains.
Yes.
This is an adjustment. First game in the NFL. And I don't care about who the opponent is. It's NFL caliber defense. He got banged around a little bit in the preseason. The Falcons have been just on the fringes of relevance the past couple of years. You think of the Falcons and think, oh, they've been terrible. No, they haven't been. And with each passing year, they're eradicating more and more of the demons of 28-3.
Right.
And I think with Bijan Robinson in a position to begin to turn things around. And this is another one of those, and it's going to look like I'm trying to weasel here and play both sides of my mouth, because the number that came to me, now I knew the Chiefs-Lions spread at 4.5 when 27-23 came to me. I didn't know this spread. I wasn't looking at it. I got 30-27 Falcons
over
Panthers.
Look at you threading the needle. So, you always accuse me of the needle.
I know. But that's just the number that came to me. This week, I'm trusting the first number that comes to me, and the first number that came to me was 30-27.
Okay, so, good. So you can
Panthers
be that guy.
Cover, Falcons win.
All right, we'll see how that works for you. I usually get screwed over by that.
Texans, Ravens, biggest spread of the week, 10 points for Baltimore. No surprise, another team breaking in a new quarterback in C.J. Stroud, and the Ravens are the Ravens. They're at home. 44 is the over-under. you're probably going to pick the Ravens. When you got the Ravens, it'd be the one seed. Yeah. If you got the Ravens, it'd be the one seed. You don't have them losing to the Texans week one at home.
Exactly right. You know, this is not the team you want to start out against if you're a rookie quarterback. You know, rookie quarterback, no superstar receiver where you can go, ooh, you know, if they blitz me or do stuff like this, I got this guy in one-on-one matchups. Okay, offensive line. In Houston, not at full strength, right? Titus Howard just put on IR here this week as well. They've been dealing with some issues there. You know, defensively, I know they'll be better on that side of the ball, but still, you know, I got to see it to believe it. It is a new scheme and everything like that. And I just think Baltimore is primed and ready to go. I think Baltimore quietly could have gone to the Super Bowl last year if they had a healthy Lamar Jackson. You know that. I don't think he's ever had weapons around him this good. I think the contract takes pressure off of him. There's a new look to the offense that the Texans aren't going to be able to prepare for totally. I think that plays in their advantage. Baltimore, to me, is one of the best teams in the AFC. So, yeah, I'm going to go Baltimore in this one 31-10. Ravens.
I got 34-13. I think we both see the Ravens having an easy way with the Texans to get started. Tougher games are looming, but the schedule makers gave them a fairly easy beginning to the season, and they get to build some confidence in the new offense, and that's valuable. Confidence leads to more confidence, and if you can get off to a good start, guys buy in. They say, hey, this is working. We're going to study it even harder. We're going to try even more, and it grows and it grows and it grows.
Right.
So off to a good start for the Ravens. Bengals at the Browns. Bengals 2.5-point favorites, over under 48.5. Joe Burrow has struggled with the Browns. The calf injury's fine. Whether he gets a new contract or not, he doesn't seem to care. Can he go to Cleveland? With the ultimate wild card team and wild card player, the Browns, and quarterback Deshaun Watson, we don't know what we're going to get. Can the Bengals beat him?
That's what we're going to get is the question to me as far as
– excuse me. Bless you.
Okay. God bless me. Thank you. That felt good. But either way, the Browns, what are we going to get on that offensive side of the ball? How far are they going to get away from running the ball and kind of being what they were the last few years? There's a lot of talk of that. You know, there's people around the NFL who were at Cleveland's practices quite often, and they said things weren't always executing at the highest level when it came to the passing game and what they saw in practice. That concerns me a little. I know Deshaun Watson's going to be a lot better this year. Does that mean it's going to be a lot better week one? I'm not sure about that either. Defensively, it's Jim Schwartz, right? There's a different look on that side of the ball. Denzel Ward, I think there's questions about his health for the game, right? You know, I'm excited about Dalvin Tomlinson in the middle and Myles Garrett and Za'Darius Smith on the edge to where that could be a problem. But I look at the Bengals as being really one of the better rosters in football. I think the only thing that gives me any trepidation at all is just like what you said, is Burrow hasn't practiced or didn't get to play at all. But the Bengals, to me, got something going, a culture, whatever. They got it all going. And I'm going to ride with this one. I think this game's close. I don't think they win this easy. But I'm going to have them covering the spread. I'm going to go 24-21 Bengals.
So you have the Bengals covering by a half point. Right. I got Bengals 24-17. So we're in the same ballpark, the same mindset, the same thought process. Even though we did see the Bengals lose last year to start the season, and I picked them to lose at home. And I remember
Steelers.
Thinking, what the hell is wrong with
right.
you? But between the Steelers and Burrow missing all that time. Yeah, it took a lot of stuff.
And a bad call on the goal line and all that. But, I don't think we're going to see that Joe Burrow. I hope not, at least.
And maybe they learned from that last year. We got to be extra on guard of not having Burrow ready to go. We got to plan a little harder. Everybody else has to step up. You can't expect Burrow to walk in and be the star, especially given that he's historically struggled for whatever reason against the Browns. Okay, we move on to the Jaguars and the Colts. The Jaguars, the best team in the division. Arguably, Titans fans get upset when you say that, but the Jaguars won it last year. Titans had their chance, and the Titans blew it. Colts trying to turn things around. They've got the whole Jonathan Taylor vibe, which has made them, in my mind, sink a little bit. Jaguars favored by 5 in Indy. 45.5 is the over-under. What say you?
Yeah, the future's bright in Indianapolis. There is a lot to like about the defensive side of the football. You know, Gus Bradley, what he's done on that side there. They're an impressive – they don't mess up much. They know all the rules and what they're supposed to do on that side of the ball. I think there's a part of me still that, you know, the Colts are one of those teams on the defensive side of the ball. I go, ooh, do they have enough guys? Do they have a guy that can go above and beyond? I know they signed Samson Ekubon to be, you know, another pass rusher opposite of Kwity Paye and all of that. But I think, you know, a defense that's good but maybe lacks superstar power, an offense that same type of thing. I love Alec Pierce. I love Michael Pittman Jr., but I think we both know that they're not guys that are going to go like 70 yards to the house. That's not what they are. They're more 10 and 12-yard, you know, reception-type guys. And it's Anthony Richardson, who we saw in preseason game number 3. The word raw all hit us all in the face. It was preseason game number 3. They were playing against third stringers with the Philadelphia Eagles, and he was 6 for 18, right? So he's not going to be ready for prime time here. And the Jags are legit across the board. So I'm going to take the Jaguars to win this one. I'm going to go 27-17 Jags to pull off the win.
Are you looking at my phone?
I'm not, I swear.
Are you looking at my phone?
I'm going.
Here, don't look at the other scores. Can you see the score?
I don't want to look at the other scores.
Jaguars, Colts, 27-17.
Wow, damn it.
Yeah. And either we both know what we're talking about or we really do spend too much time.
Well, we've had a full offseason talking about all this crap.
But look, the Jaguars, and I've been saying this a lot lately, they should be getting the same kind of buzz and hype that the Lions are getting.
Yeah. Should be getting more.
They should be. They did more than the Lions last year.
They got Trevor Lawrence.
They made it to the playoffs. They won.
Right.
They should have that vibe. They should have that sizzle, and they don't.
And Calvin Ridley. Let's not just forget that. What does he bring to the table? And, you know, Trevor Lawrence is next level. We saw at the end of the year, and he's going to be one of these guys that is going to be a top five quarterback in football for a long time here going forward.
All right, Buccaneers at the Vikings. They once got together week one in Minnesota in Randy Moss's first game ever back in 1998 when Tony Dungy was coaching the Bucs, and his attitude was, we need Moss to prove that he can do it. And he did it with two touchdowns that day in September of 1998. I remember it like it was yesterday, and here we are 25 years later. So, Bucks back in Minnesota. Vikings with the throwbacks, honoring Bud Grant.
Wow.
First game of the season. Kirk Cousins maybe even working on Tuesday this week.
So do you like
maybe
him
he worked
we
on Tuesday this week. You want me to go first?
You have to go first. Right. It's the fucking Vikings. Right.
My son is so nervous about this game because he knows if the Vikings cannot beat the Buccaneers week one, it's over. It's done. And it may be done anyway. It may be done next Thursday night when they play the Eagles in Philly. This is just one of those that it's tailor-made for the Vikings to win. Just like a playoff game is tailor-made for the Vikings to lose, this is perfect textbook Kirk Cousins, Justin Jefferson, Jordan Addison making his debut, Alexander Mattison as the top running back, Brian Flores with creative uses of a defense that can't be any worse than last year.
Right.
Baker Mayfield was in that weird quarterback competition that went on longer than it should. What's Rashid White going to do as the top running back? The offensive line's banged up. Ryan Jensen's on IR. Tristan Wirfs has had a hard time going from the right side to the left side. This just adds up to me. All things considered, this is a game the Vikings have to win if they have any hope whatsoever this year. They only have 8 home games. This is the year where AFC teams have 9, NFC teams have 8. You can't blow this one to a division rival. Not a division rival. Used to be a division rival. Yeah. A conference rival. A team you may be competing with for, who knows, maybe a wild card berth. Who knows? Vikings 31. Buccaneers 14.
Okay. You said a lot of right things there. I think that, you know, all the things you said about the Bucs, offensive line issues, certainly that's the number one thing that scares me, right? How awesome is Mike Evans still? I know he's still good. How good is he? Those are things I question. I know the Buccaneers defense is going to be good, but it is going to be good enough to where it can carry a average offense or a unit that's below average. I'm not sure that it can. And I am going to give the Brian Flores bump on that side of the ball. And, of course, Kirk Cousins being in the second year in the Kevin O'Connell system and all that. I'm oddly, for whatever reason, going to keep this one a little closer. Right, I think the Vikings are winning, but for some reason, I think the Buccaneers
cover.
I'm going to go cover. I'm going to go 24-20 Vikings in this one.
Wow. And look, it's just one late touchdown.
I know that's crazy about NFL and betting.
I know one touchdown here, one touchdown there, and everything goes up in smoke. Titans at the Saints. New Orleans, a 3-point favorite over Tennessee. I bet Mike Vrabel's not happy about that. The over/under is 41. First game for Derek Carr in New Orleans. Ryan Tannehill starting what likely will be his last year as the starter. Derrick Henry wanting to prove to everyone that running backs still have value. Who do you like?
So this is, to me, one of the more intriguing matchups. First off, I think everybody, even including myself, are maybe sleeping on the Tennessee Titans here a little bit. I'm a believer in Vrabel, I think, just as you are. I still think they're going to be able to run the ball, control the clock that way. Weapons at the wide receiver position is an issue. There's no doubt about that. Okay? So, like, in a lot of ways, and then, you know, hey, the Saints, they got a lot of things to like, too. Offensive line's pretty damn good. Those receivers, Derek Carr and that offense, right? They're trying to basically take the Raiders' offense and what he did there and bring it to New Orleans. That's why John Gruden spent so much time there. The Titans, you know, last year defensively were not dominant or as good as we've seen. But I guess this is where I look at the Titans to go. I think they can be a pain in the ass. Vrabel, I know, knows the rules of a real true West Coast offense. I think he's going to have a game plan here to be a real pain in the ass. And this is going to be my upset right here. I'm going to go with it here. I'm going to go 20-17 Titans on the road. Look, are you fucking kidding me?
I got 20-17.
Holy shit. And you picked the Titans too? I thought this is where I was
going. I don't even think it's an upset. I didn't have the spreads in front of me, but the Titans are the better team than the New Orleans Saints.
I guess.
The Saints have some buzz because they're in a division that's
right,
wide
not
open.
Good.
And there's kind of this, do I want to say irrational? I'll say irrational because I can't think of a better word. But it's an irrational respect for and love of Derek Carr, who got fired by the Raiders.
Right.
He got fired by the Raiders. And he's in that Kirk Cousins, Jared Goff category of a guy who can take you to a certain point, but he's not going to take you where you want to go. Titans win 20-17. And that's two that we have the exact same score. And I don't even consider it to be much of an upset. 49ers, two-point favorites at Pittsburgh. Over under a 41.5. Nick Bosa is back. Mike Tomlin, the coach of the Steelers, was wise to assume they were going to see Nick Bosa. He compared the situation to T.J. Watt. The difference was Watt was in the building. Watt got his contract. Watt kicked ass right out of the gates. Does Nick Bosa contribute to an ass-kicking by the 49ers of a Steelers team that was underrated and is now in danger of being overrated? So many people are on the Steelers bandwagon.
This is my favorite 1 o'clock matchup by far. You know, it's two psycho coaches with a whole bunch of psycho players that love hitting each other and being the bullies on a football field. So I think this is going to be can't-miss TV. You know, I look at this in a lot of ways and think, you know, the Steelers have a lot of the right formulas to, you know, annoy a Kyle Shanahan offense, right? With the way they move pre-snap, they disguise things, they do some things that are a little bit, you know, out of the ordinary as compared to most defenses in football. It can be very hard to game plan for that. You know, I look at the other side of the ball and go, Pittsburgh also does another thing that can be annoying to the 49ers. You've heard me say this in the past. I think if you're going to beat the 49ers, you've got to be willing to throw the ball down the field and outside the numbers a little bit. We saw Patrick Mahomes do it last year when he played the 49ers, because that's about the only ass spot on the field they're going to give you. They take away the medium range throws, the middle of the field a lot. Now, Pickett can throw the ball outside the numbers, and to what you just said, they got some receivers out there that can win those type of matchups on the outside. Ray Orton, new defensive coordinator there. This is a toss-up game. I've gone back and forth with this one. I'm going to go with the 49ers to win this. As much as I'm a little scared being on the road, long grass, which will slow them down a little bit, I'm going to go 49ers 20-17.
And I assume that you meant to say Steve Wilkes, the new defensive coordinator.
Oh, I said, yeah, sorry. I didn't say Ray Orton. My bad. Sorry, Steve Wilkes. Yes.
Okay, if we were going to have the
same...
They're
both black coaches who were disrespected at one point. That's where I think I had them confused in my mind.
And both are joined in the lawsuit. Is Ray Horton in the lawsuit?
I think he is. I believe he is.
He may be in the lawsuit against, along with Brian Flores.
Right.
Okay, so if we were going to have the same score on this one, I was just going to walk off and say, we can't do this. And I have had this feeling about the Steelers, and you accuse me of being a closet Steelers fan.
You are.
I do have my terrible towel, but trust me, when I grew up, I was not a Steelers fan. One of the longest days of my life was Super Bowl IX when the Steelers beat the Vikings. But this is Heinz Field or whatever it's called now. The Steelers can match the 49ers with physicality and intensity.
They can.
It is a game that the NFL should not have burned at 1 o'clock Eastern on the first Sunday this season. I respect them for doing it. It should have been standalone, a Thursday night game, a Sunday night game, a Monday night game. It's going to be the only game out of the eight, other than Vikings-Bucks, that I'm really like, oh, I got to see what's going on there. But this is just pasta and meatballs. I mean, if
I hear
first
you.
Week of the season, I've had pasta and meatballs since the Super Bowl. It's time for some pasta and meatballs.
It is. And traditionally, the 49ers are not necessarily always the fastest starting team. That scares me, too. So I know you're going Steelers, but
Steelers,
by how much?
24-23.
Okay.
By one. Close game, down to the wire, field goal, or
you're
missed extra point.
Some again
fluky,
here.
Crazy thing.
Right.
It's going to be a great game. Not too high scoring, but exciting down to the wire. And this may just be me hoping to have a great game to start the season. I mean, we don't want to be bored week one. We want exciting games. We want to be standing up, not just edge of our seat, on our feet, locked into how these games are playing out as the 1 o'clock games come to a conclusion. As we come to the conclusion for the 1 o'clock games, Cardinals at the Commanders. The Commanders are 7-point favorites over the worst team in football. Sorry, Cardinals fans, it's the truth. The over-under is 38. That's the lowest of the week. By how many points do the Commanders beat the Cardinals?
I'm taking the Commanders. I think the Commanders are another one of those teams that's kind of a wild card team in this whole, you know, playoff picture, whatever you want to talk about. They have the talent to be a playoff football team. They have a quarterback who has yet to play under the bright lights or deal with any pressure, and that's what we want to see. But am I excited about Eric Bieniemy and the match with the Commanders' offense and talent they have around them? I think they improved their O-line, right? The Cardinals, they have a pretty good secondary. But after that, you know, I don't sit here and go, ooh, there's a lot to worry about on their front seven or anything there. So I don't see that being an issue for the Commanders as they get this new O-line situated. And then on the other side of the ball, you know, I don't, the quarterback situation, just the Cardinals in general this offseason, I don't know. I don't believe in them there. And I think that the Commanders, they got a talented D. They got some dudes over there. I'm going to go Commanders here 28-13.
I've got Commanders 28-10. So we're in the same
Holy
ballpark.
Shit.
You said 28-13?
Yeah.
Yeah, so
that's scary.
I take one less field goal. Or I take a field goal away from the Cardinals. I don't want this to become a thing. I just don't believe in Jonathan Gannon. I really don't. And should we be surprised that a dysfunctional team makes a bad coaching hire? Did they make a great coaching hire with Cliff Kingsbury? No. Right? Do they have a history of making great coaching hires? No. They kind of had Bruce Arians fall into their laps at a time when no one else wanted him and should have. But everything I see and hear from Gannon, there was an article in The Athletic yesterday about him trying to justify what happened at the end of the Super Bowl and how they gave up those two plays where you saw it coming that they couldn't handle motion,
right,
and he acted like everything was fine, so we got to take a break.
Yeah, I hear you.
That's
they
where
have a
I
bad
am on
stigma
the Cardinals.
Around them
it's
right
going to be a bad year for the Cardinals.
They're setting
get
it up for
used
next
to
year.
It. I'm going to be picking against the Cardinals every single week. You can take that to the bank. When we come back, the 4 o'clock games from the first Sunday this season, including Belichick Bill as a home underdog against the Eagles Philadelphia. More PFTPM and Chris Sims unbuttoned right after this.
Around any corner, within every battle, and with the dawn of each new day, the threat of the unexpected, the unpredictable, and the unrelenting lies in wait. But Marines will always be there. They are the constant in the chaos. No matter the battlefield, Marines adapt to win, defeating every shifting threat, protecting our nation's future. The few, the proud, the Marines.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Dietz and Watson's been making meats and cheeses the right way since forever. What's that mean? It means never cutting corners, ever. It means cooking, not processing. It means our Virginia brand ham that's cooked to perfection, then twice baked to layer the flavors. It takes more time, but you can taste the difference. We come to work every day to do it the right way, even if it's the hard way. Because if it's not right for us, it's not right for you. Dietz and Watson, it's a family thing since 1939.
We're back. The Joint Mega Picks podcast, week one for the 2023 season. We've made it through the Thursday game, all the 1 o'clock Eastern games on Sunday. Now the 4 o'clock games, and there is a cluster of them. There are 5 of them. This is one of the weeks where I think both Fox and CBS have a 4:25 p.m. Eastern game because
they
of that
do.
Extra week in the season right. now. So some great games in that late window. Let's start with Packers-Bears. That was the Thursday night opener 4 years ago
when
it was
there.
The NFL's 100th season.
Right.
And a lot of questions for both teams. Packers with Jordan Love. Bears in year 3 for Justin Fields. Who do you like in that one?
Yeah, this is interesting. You know, Bears, it's a totally different team than what we saw last year. They got a lot of new guys on the defensive side of the ball. You know, the offensive side of the ball, the big thing is just, hey, Justin Fields, what's he look like, right? We saw DJ Moore do some electric things. You know, Chase Claypool, where's he at in this conversation? You know, it's fair to ask. And listen, I'm excited about some of the potential with the Bears. I am a believer in the Packers roster and the team they have there, though. I do think the Packers have the best roster in the NFC North. And I don't know. I just look at this here and go, I am expecting defensive struggle. I think both teams will probably try to protect their quarterbacks a little bit, not let them be the overall factor of the game, especially, you know, I think with Green Bay and Jordan Love, Chicago might be a little less. They might be tentative to throw the ball a ton with Justin Fields, but they're going to run them for sure. I'm taking the Packers. I'm going to take them on the road. Jordan Love's, you know, first start as a real starting quarterback here for the Green Bay Packers, and I'm going to go 20-17.
Are you kidding me? Well, it's not exact, but it's close.
Okay.
I got 21-17.
Okay.
Packers over the Bears. The Bears, by the way, are one-point favorites, which is nothing. Flip
yeah.
a coin. And the over-under is 42. But this idea that Jordan Love is not going to be good because he's not Aaron Rodgers. I mean, let's take a step back and think about this. This is the organization that has had a level of success for 30 years. They hit it on Brett Favre. They hit it on Aaron Rodgers. And with Jordan Love, after they wanted Justin Jefferson and he was gone, they wanted Brandon Ayuk and he was gone, the 49ers traded up to get him. Their next choice was Jordan Love, and they traded up to get Jordan Love. Why do we just assume that this organization, which has set a standard of, I don't want to say excellence, but they have been consistent
damn good
contenders.
Yeah.
They should have more than 2 Super Bowl wins over the last 30 years.
Right.
But why do we think they did all that and disrupted their relationship with Aaron Rodgers for a guy who can't play? So I think Jordan Love is going to be fine. We saw some encouraging signs in the preseason, some variation on his speed and loft in his throws
Definitely.
To fit the circumstances.
Right.
And even though Justin Fields is good for a 60-yard touchdown run every game, I think the Packers overall better than the Bears to get things started 21-17. So we're on the same page.
One thing that I'm worried about a little is the health status of the 2 Green Bay receivers. Right?
Hamstrings.
And I don't know if that was kind of just like, hey, day of rest thing, or if it was something significant that's like, oh, no, they're really dealing with something here. I haven't heard enough there. But it kind of popped out of nowhere just, what, 2 days ago a little bit?
It was just yesterday, and that's a problem. I saw that, and I thought, wait, Dobbs and Watson?
So
Dobbs and Christian Watson, both of them?
I think that's to our listeners, you know, pay attention to that. Keep an eye on that. Because if they can't go, then I would pick Chicago to win the game. Because Green Bay, they need the threat of those guys outside and Jordan Love's ability to throw some one-on-one shots down the field to kind of help them out.
Are we allowed to do that? Can we do flowchart picks if this player plays, if that player
doesn't
play? I just
want to at least give them –
But you're right. You're right. And I would feel differently, too. This is one of the realities of making the picks on Thursday.
Yeah.
Stuff can change between Thursday and Sunday. Raiders at the Broncos. Broncos, you put them last in the AFC West. Great test right out of the gates. Broncos 3.5-point favorites with Sean Payton there as the head coach. Russell Wilson year 2. Jimmy Garoppolo year 1. The turmoil with Chandler Jones and the Raiders, like the Josh Jacobs thing. They got that worked out and he's there, but who knows what's going to happen with either of these teams. Again, Broncos 3.5-point favorites, over under of 44. You taking the Raiders?
It's one of those where you just go, wait, it's Sean Payton and Russell Wilson, and they're at home, and this is the unveiling of this football team, and they should win, right? And you know, listen, there's some merit to that. And of course, the Broncos D, we know, is pretty damn good, but I don't think their front seven's at full strength. So that you know, scares me a little bit. You know, the middle linebackers they got in that defense, I'm not a huge fan of that group there. No, I know they got some. They got Simmons and Surtain in the secondary who were special. I get that. But, yeah, I'm leaning Raiders in this one. Wow. I'm leaning Raiders from just the fact of I'm a believer in their offense. I'm a believer in their offensive line. They got Josh Jacobs back in enough time to where I think he can be a real factor in the football game here, not to say he's the same guy. And I just think it's going to be, you know, they got to get used to Sean Payton life here a little bit. This is one of my upsets this week. I'm going to go with the Raiders winning this one 23-20.
I believe that the Broncos understand and Sean Payton recognizes the importance of coming out of the gates at home with a win. They've got two games to start the season at home, Raiders and Commanders. Their only preseason game at home was against the Rams, and they kicked the shit out of the Rams. Now, I think part of it was a little washed the bad taste out of their mouth from Christmas when the Rams kicked the shit out of the Broncos.
Sure.
But I think it was also first home game, first time in the stadium. They don't practice in the stadium. They went in there, and I think for Sean Payton, it was imperative to kick ass and take names, and I think the same mindset applies here. He understands the importance of winning this one and winning it somewhat convincingly. I got 30-20, the Broncos over the Raiders to start the season. All right, Dolphins at the Chargers. Ooh, Justin Herbert and Tua Tagovailoa taken back-to-back. Herbert's gotten a big contract. Tua's still got to prove himself. Tua's got to stay healthy. Chargers are three-point favorites in this one with an over-under of 51. A lot of people like the Dolphins to win the AFC East. A lot of people like them to maybe contend for the Super Bowl if Tua can stay healthy. How do things get started between the Dolphins and the Chargers?
A lot of superstars on the field here. That's the first thing that jumps out to me. The second thing I think of right off the bat is just that the Chargers were one of those teams last year that were the first to kind of put a blueprint or something out there to go, hey, this is how you slow down this group here in Miami. Because up to that point, it had kind of been a track meet for the Miami Dolphins. Every game was just like, whoa, zoom, 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 whoa, they're unstoppable, right? Now, they're not going to be able to have that wrinkle on defense and what they did here to catch the Dolphins by surprise, right? I'm going the Dolphins here. I think the Dolphins are arguably behind the Eagles. You could argue they're the second-best roster in football. I think McDaniel and company will be prepared for whatever it is that Staley threw at them last year. And, the newness of Kellen Moore on the offensive side of the ball, the fact that we didn't get to see them out there as a full unit, J.C. Jackson not back totally, you know, healthy yet. So I'm going to go Dolphins here in a somewhat high-scoring game in 31-28.
We're pretty close on this one, too. Every time the Dolphins and Chargers play, I think of the Kellen Winslow playoff game from before you were born. Yeah. God, that's
depressing.
I think
I was born. That was early 80s. I think it was 81.
Was it 81?
I think it was.
Well,
82, somewhere
then.
In there.
Of course, you're still in diapers now, so there's no difference. I got the Dolphins 28-27. I just think that the Dolphins, as long as Tua is healthy, are an elite team, and we need to recognize that. With Vic Fangio, they're running the defense.
Yeah.
With the guys they've added, even with Jalen Ramsey out until maybe December, they still are going to be great, and they're going to have balance. And with the Chargers, it's always something. And it's just going to be one of those get into a key moment, who makes a play, who doesn't, and I think the Dolphins find a way to make a play and get the win. The Eagles at the Patriots. Welcome home, Tommy. Brady in the Gillette Stadium confines for the first time ever as a non-player. Eagles are four-point favorites. Bill Belichick was going on and on about how they don't have anybody to be the scout team, Jalen Hurts. It can't be Malik Cunningham. Nobody's got a guy that can be Jalen Hurts. Can the Patriots come up with something to neutralize Jalen Hurts and put the Eagles at 0-1, which nobody would expect the Eagles to be?
No, I do think the Patriots have a fighting chance here. I mean, I know we all – the Eagles, are, of course, are phenomenal. But – Patriots, we know they're capable of pretty damn good game plans. My biggest thing with the Patriots here, though, is they do have the size on their defensive line to give them a little flexibility to cover some other holes that the Eagles offense might, you know, pose or do to you there, right? To where, you know, the Patriots, they can put three, four D linemen in the game that are all 300-plus pounds, you know, and one or two of them are up in the 330 range. So that's where they're not going to be just blown off the ball by the Eagles. That's the usually the first advantage the Eagles have. And, of course, we know the Patriots are pretty good in the secondary. So I just don't imagine the Eagles' offense just marching up and down the field on the field on the New England Patriots. It's the other side of the ball I'm more worried about with the New England Patriots. Offensive line, we know, is a concern up there right now. You know, game breakers at receiver, kind of an issue. Are they going to be able to depend on running the ball and controlling the clock? I don't think so. So I'm going to pick the Eagles in this one. I'm going to go 30-24 Eagles. It's kind of a closer, you know, it's like a late field goal to win 30-24.
30-23, which is pretty damn close. Damn. I mean, we've had two right on the money and two within a point.
I didn't even write down my scores, right? I kind of...
You know what? I'm doing the O's Perlman to you. That's what it is. I'm planning these.
You're planning
in
my
head.
Brain. Yeah. I thought he was a Fugazi. You can't do that.
So no, I'm real. He's Fugazi.
Real. Okay. Yeah. Okay.
All right.
I know it's crazy. I've been thinking about these games for the last 10 days. I knew the general ballpark of what I was gonna pick. I've been kind of going off the top of my head here with my scores. I can't believe we're this
30-23 for me, 30-24 for you. Both of us have the Eagles winning and covering. Last game in the 4 o'clock window, Rams at the Seahawks. No Cooper Kupp for the Rams. And who knows, can they keep Matthew Stafford healthy? How long is Aaron Donald going to be able to keep going? Meanwhile, the Seahawks, they feel like the arrow is pointing up.
Exactly.
And they're getting better. They're 5.5-point favorites. 46 is the over-under. Who do you like?
No Devon Witherspoon, right? And no Jamal Adams. That's the first thing that Seattle won't have with them. But I look at the Rams and go, what is block Aaron Donald, then what? What do we have to worry about? What? Don't let Matthew Stafford throw a bomb on us. What else do we got to worry about? I'm sitting here, and I have so much respect for Sean McVay. I think you know that, and anybody that listens to me knows that. But I think there's a chance the Rams are one of the worst teams in football. And I think the Seahawks are going in the right direction. And I think they're going to be dangerous as hell on the offensive side of the ball. And I think their defense is going to be different than what we've seen the last few years here, too. I'm going to go Seahawks 27-17.
Are you kidding me? I'm not going to show you the last two, but there it is. See it?
Holy
you
cow.
See it? 27-17. That's three and two others within 1 point. I think we need an intervention or something. This is not good. This is going to be a long year, although we do disagree on some.
Yeah.
27-17, same thing. It could be worse than that.
Yeah.
But the Seahawks are just on a higher plane than the Rams, and the Rams are – it's the fall from grace by the Rams is stunning. They had the biggest collapse ever for a Super Bowl champion to the next year, and they're still paying – the bill for fuck them picks and pay that man his money and Teddy KGB. We can say that in this setting. Yeah, we could have said it in the other two. Now that we've got the recorded disclaimer from the Brits, we're good to go. Okay, we got to go. We'll be back, though. Two primetime games, both at the same stadium in New Jersey, not New York. Can you put New York here? It's in New Jersey.
Aaron
get your facts straight.
Well, he's from New York, so he wants to call everything New York. Yeah, that's what
New
he
Jersey.
Likes. Jersey.
Back. Forget about it. 1 p.m. FTPM and Chris Sims Unbutton right after this.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Dietz and Watson's been making meats and cheeses the right way since forever. What's that mean? It means never cutting corners, ever. It means cooking, not processing. It means our Virginia brand ham that's cooked to perfection, then twice baked to layer the flavors. It takes more time, but you can taste the difference. We come to work every day to do it the right way, even if it's the hard way. Because if it's not right for us, it's not right for you. Dietz and Watson, it's a family thing since 1939.
At Vanguard, you're more than just an investor. You're an owner. That means your priorities are Vanguard's too. So whether you're planning for retirement or trying to save up for your next big adventure, Vanguard will work alongside you to set personalized investment goals. That's the value of ownership. All investing is subject to risk. Vanguard is owned by its funds, which are owned by Vanguard's fund shareholder clients. Vanguard Marketing Corporation Distributor.
primetime games, both at MetLife Stadium. One night it'll be MetLife, the next night it'll be JetLife. Giants hosting the Cowboys for Sunday Night Football. Jets hosting the Bills Monday night. Let's start with the Cowboys versus
the G-Man.
Cowboys are 3.5-point favorites.
I know.
I bet you're pissed
that
about
that. Fucking disrespect.
26 and a half, never under. All right. Oh, well, here's your chance. Show respect. Pick the Giants. But, Tough guy.
I do think, like, one, the Giants, they know who they are. They know how they're going to play. Their offensive line is better. They got some new weapons on the offensive side of the ball. I think all of that is exciting, right? In all aspects, Saquon should be ready to go. I know how good this Dallas defense is, but I think this Giants offense is going to be a notch up from what we saw. You know, week one, Dallas Cowboy offense having to deal with, you know, Wink Martindale and all they do on that side of the ball. I think that's a pain in the ass there, right? I know the Cowboys are better as a football team. This is just another one where I'm going to steal, you know, your pasta and meatballs here and go with my potatoes or mashed potatoes and steak and my gut here. I am going to take the G-men. I just feel something that, hey, week one, crazy stadium, maybe a few new wrinkles in the game plan. I don't think their offensive line is going to have to be managed to such a degree like they were last year to where they couldn't even do certain things on the offensive side of the ball because they were like, wait, we can't protect this group and figure it out. I'm going to go Giants 21-17.
As I was thumbing on my phone the scores and the outcomes, I put Cowboys down a couple of times, and it just didn't look right. It doesn't feel right. The Giants are better. You could adapt your O Aaron Rodgers song to O Darren Waller because I think he's going to be phenomenal. That's not a hot take. It's just reality.
No, if he's healthy, been great, he's awesome.
And they've addressed the areas where the Giants have needs. And Saquon Barkley's back, and he's focused. He's determined. He's forgotten about the whole contract thing. He knows, go out and bust your ass, and everything else will take care of itself. Daniel Jones is going to be better in year two with Brian Daboll. And they haven't really gotten the...
No, the respect.
Yeah, a little respect over here. The Giants made it to the playoffs. The Giants won a playoff game. Yeah, they lost badly to the Eagles, but anybody who played the Eagles that round was going to lose badly. The Vikings would have lost badly. Right. Anybody would have lost badly. So I think the Giants win. I think they get to 1-0.
I can't believe
they win the game
them.
As underdogs. I got 27-24 Giants over Cowboys.
Okay, wow. Damn, we're both on the Giants here. I did not expect you to go that way.
The Cowboys got to prove it to me.
Yeah.
With Mike McCarthy now fully in charge of the offense, he's got to prove it to me. And they feel a little dysfunctional.
Yeah, I hear you there.
And they always have. Yeah. That's one of the reasons why they haven't been to the NFC Championship since 1995. All right, Bills at the Jets to wrap up the week. The Bills are 2.5-point favorites against the Jets, over under of 46.5. They got to turn that stadium around in one night to go from Giants to Jets. Do the Bills get the win as the only New York team? Yeah, the only real New York team, did the Bills come in and get it done?
No. I'm going with the Jets here. I look at the Bills. You know I'm a little down on them compared to most. I'm scared to death. I mean, it is Josh Allen. He's one of the greatest talents we've ever seen in the history of the sport. I mean, he's going to the Hall of Fame as we sit here now. He's special. So that scares me to death. But you heard me say, the Jets don't have a starting D line. They have two starting D lines. They got a great secondary. Their defense has the potential to be the number one defense in football. You know, I mean, literally, the floor to me is like fifth defense in football. Offensively, I'm not expecting a juggernaut performance here by Aaron Rodgers, but I expect the offense, of course, to be better. He'll manage the game. He's very smart. He knows who his defense is, right? And I don't look at the Bills as being a team that, okay, the big question is the Jets' offensive line, right? I know the Bills think they're better on the defensive line, but, I mean, Von Miller's not playing. Oh, okay, we got Leonard Floyd. He's not even known to be a pass rusher that way. So, in the Jets' weakness, I don't know if the Bills have a strength there to take advantage of that weakness, and that's where I'm going to go with the Jets 28-24.
Okay, we're in the same ballpark. I have a little higher scoring, and part of this is, I think, just my own wishful thinking that we have a great game to end week one. I got 33-30. Jets, and wouldn't that be great if that's what we get out of this one? But I went from just assuming ever since the schedule was set the Bills would easily win. We both have concerns about the Bills. I've been calling the Bills the NFL's Jenga tower, where it's, you know, that you slide out that domino and it starts to wobble, and then maybe the chair is shaking a little bit, or, you know, a gust of wind comes by. It just feels like it can all go down for the Bills this year. And this is a high-profile start to the season, all the hype for the Jets. It's going to be a test for the Bills. And it may be that the Bills hear people like us saying the Jets are going to win, and they get pissed
off
and they come out and win.
Yeah.
Maybe it will. But for now, Jets 33-30. We're going to take a break.
Okay, sorry.
Go ahead.
I was going to say, the Bills, you know, the big thing I keep coming back to, too, is, you know, we almost have that saying, right? If you stay, you know, you're either getting better, or if you're staying the same, you're getting worse.
Because others are getting better. And others are getting better if you're
exactly.
Not.
The division's amazing. I look at them and go, what did they really do? I know they drafted Dalton Kincaid. I'm excited for him, but I don't think he's going to be like a difference maker in this game right here, right? So I just, that's where I come back to here. There's still some questions about them, and I don't know if there's enough elite players, for especially on Monday night, for them to beat the Jets.
Bills fans don't want to hear it, but hey, somebody's got to win the games and somebody's got to lose the games, and maybe the Bills window on this edition of the team is closing. We're going to take a break. The show is closing down, but before we go, best bets and our one straight up money line can't lose Folsom Prison Blues pick. We'll do that next here on Chris Sims Unbuttoned at PFTPM. All right, here we are wrapping up this week one edition of Chris Sims Unbuttoned and PFTPM, Joint Megapicks podcast. We disagree on two games straight up. We disagree on five against the spread. Here come the best bets. And look, we did poorly last year on the best bets, but we'll try to do better this year starting now. Give me one.
I'm going Falcons. Falcons at home, 3.5. I don't like the way the Panthers looked in the preseason. It's a first-year quarterback, rookie quarterback starting. I'm a believer in the Falcons. I'm going there.
Commanders against the worst team in football. Washington, rollicking, happy, euphoria, ding-dong, Dan Snyder is dead. Commanders. Who else?
I'm going to go Ravens. I know it's 10-point favorites over the Texans, but I mean, I think that's like worst case scenario for me.
Ravens, also Ravens. Another bad team against a real playoff contender in the Ravens. Absolutely. Last one,
I think I'm going to ride with the Seahawks. It's 5.5 points to the Rams, but I'm going to take it. I do. I feel good about it. And, you know, the more I think about my 27-17 prediction of that game, I go, I think I maybe should have picked a bigger spread.
Bow.
Uh-oh.
Got to take the Vikings. Bud Grant. Old uniforms, Buccaneers, who knows where they
come
are.
Come on, the Buccaneers drafted me. All right, give me matey, come on.
We'll explain next week what the Folsom Prison Blues pick is, but give me your one team that you would take, no matter what, money line, who is
it? I'm taking the Ravens over the Texans.
I'll go Commanders.
Okay.
Just to be different.
Cool.
See you next week. Enjoy the games.
See you next week. Hopefully he's wrong, I'm right.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed, also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Dietz and Watson's been making meats and cheeses the right way since forever. What's that mean? It means never cutting corners, ever. It means cooking, not processing. It means our Virginia brand ham that's cooked to perfection, then twice baked to layer the flavors. It takes more time, but you can taste the difference. We come to work every day to do it the right way, even if it's the hard way. Because if it's not right for us, it's not right for you. Dietz and Watson, it's a family thing since 1939.